I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn back with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Last week, I looked at the first verse and half of the second verse in this passage, which actually starts in verse 14. I'm sorry. I'm going to be looking, Lord willing, at verses 15 through 22. And I won't go over what I said last week for the sake of time, except to say this. This is a letter, one of the seven letters that was written to the seven churches in Asia, appointed by Almighty God. It was penned by the Apostle John while on the Isle of Patmos. A letter that was written to these seven churches, but a letter to each of these churches that are relative for us today. Now, let me just say this, and I'm going to start. I pray that this message be an encouragement to every believer. It's an extremely convicting letter. It's one that, let me just come right out and say it, is scary to every believer who has been, by the grace of God, made sensitive of himself. And the old man that's still there. But this is a letter from the Lord. And therefore, I pray that God be pleased to bless it to the comfort of God's people. I've entitled this message, Am I Lukewarm? By and large, in the church at Laodicea, there was found to be a spirit of apostasy, laxness, laziness, lukewarmness, and it was a spirit that had crept in. It was a spirit of indifference. A spirit that is referred to by the Spirit of God in the 15th verse of this third chapter. One of being neither cold nor hot. The Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle John to say in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Now, my first question would be this. What does it mean to be cold or hot? Those that are said to be cold are those that are in a state of no profession at all. They make no confession, no profession of being a believer. There's no interest whatsoever in the glorious gospel of God's free grace. Those that are said to be hot are those that are fervent for the truth. They have a burning heart that is like those that were on the road to Damascus, the two. I'm not saying that there's not a realization of the old man that's there. There is a realization of the old man that's there. But there's a new man in those that are hot, and they recognize that old man as being that which they war against. But they love God. They love the gospel. They love God's people. And they are fervent in that which they believe. So the Lord said, He said to a group of people, and I could go into a long discourse on this church at Laodicea, one of the richest churches monetarily in all of Asia. It was the center of all the arts, all the fashion. If you wanted to be somewhere where it was happening, go to Laodicea. That would be where it's at. It was it, but something happened. There was a people there at one time. Paul loved that church. He wrote to that church. He told them, he said, look, I'm going to write you a letter. And you write. They were close to Colossae, just a few miles from Colossae, the church of, that was written to the Colossians. And when Paul would write a letter to Laodicea or to Colossae, he'd say, look, read it to the other one. If you get, I send you one, read it to Laodicea. If I send one to Laodicea, I want them to read it to you. So there was a church there, but something happened. There was found to be, now in that church, a spirit of indifference. And the Lord told him, he said, I know your works. That you're not cold. You're not those that have completely shunned the gospel, like the wayside hearers. But when the seed was thrown, the birds came and picked it up like that, and nothing. They weren't that way, a total rejection of the gospel. He said, you're not cold and you're not hot. He said, I would that you were cold or hot. One that is cold. Now listen, we need to hear this. One that is cold and makes no profession whatsoever of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's honest about his indifference. About his coldness, I mean. There's no disguise. There's no pretense. You know where one that makes no confession whatsoever stands. You know where he stands. He's a Saul of Tarsus. He hated the gospel. He hated the truth of God's free grace. He loved the message of works, thought he had kept the law. But you knew where he stood. He was cold. But one that is indifferent, lukewarm, is a Judas. He makes claim to believe the gospel of God's free grace. And here the true and faithful witness expresses that which we know and believe by faith, that there is found within every man that old man that hates the gospel and the new man that loves it. But those found to be cold without any knowledge whatsoever of the truth. The Lord said, I would that you were cold or hot. There's apparently, according to the word of the Lord, more hope. According to the good pleasure of God, that God might be pleased to do something that makes no profession whatsoever. But for one that makes a profession to believe the gospel and then exhibits a spirit of indifference, laziness toward it. If they were hot, truly believers in Christ, alive by the grace of God, and when they see that spirit within them of indifference, they see it, they know it. But I'm telling you, when they see that, they're arrested by the Spirit of God. They're chastened. And they're thankful for that spirit of correction. They're like the publican that would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, said, just God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Rest assured. Now you listen. The north wind of God's Spirit in convicting mercy shall surely blow upon the garden of the Lord. God does not leave His children in a state of indifference. They're corrected. Now, you're looking at one that will readily admit there are times that I I see myself, and I know it. I know that there's that spirit of coolness, and it grieves me. It grieves my heart. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Lord, thank you that you'd give me a heart to care. I see it. I know it. But to be left in a spirit of lukewarmness, those that God Almighty leaves to themselves are like those illustrated by that publican, a Pharisee in Luke 18, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. There's great danger. I'll tell you this. I just, as an illustration, you take a man or a man's wife that is lukewarm and indifferent toward his spouse. Let me tell you something. There's problems. There's problems. Just that spirit of that tepid attitude of carelessness. Not cold or hot. And I'm telling you that a believer sees that spirit because it's still there. Now an unbeliever is left totally. That's his total attitude. But a believer, I said that the spirit of coldness is when one that doesn't profess anything. That's the spirit of coldness. The Lord told Peter, he said, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And when Peter was denied, there was one of those denials when he said, I don't know the man. I don't know him. That's cold. That's cold. I don't know him. And the same man, Peter, was the one when many of them went and would not follow the Lord anymore. And the Lord turned to his disciples and he said, will you go away too? You know, people are going to do what they want to do. You want to go too? And Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe. And sure, you're the Christ. Where am I going? You see that cold spirit's there? Oh, but to be lukewarm consistently. The Lord said in verse 16, because thou art lukewarm and exhibit that spirit of indifference, you claim to be a believer. You claim to know Him. You say you believe sovereign grace. You believe the Lord saved people according to His will in heaven and earth. He rules and reigns. But that spirit of indifference. He said, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. That word spew right there. Vomit. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now my friend, those words scares a believer. Somebody said, oh, that, you know, no, that, you'll never find me being like that. A believer says, Lord, is it me? Is it me? One of you going to betray me? That, the sound of that, let me tell you what a believer will do. He said, because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. A believer, and I tell you what every one of you that know him just did. You fly to him. You like that Syrophoenician woman, that woman of Canaan, that came to the Lord and she cast herself upon him and she said, Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he said, it's not meet for me to give the children's bread to dogs. And she said, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. You're right. But the dogs get the crumbs under the master's table. And he said, woman, great is thy faith. A believer hears the rebuke of the Lord, and immediately they cast themselves upon Him right now. Lord, don't leave me to that. Don't leave me to that. The walk of one that is lukewarm is a walk uncorrected by the Lord. Now you listen to this. The Scripture says in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." A believer hears the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will immediately in his heart say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy on this sinner." Those words right there were penned by John the Apostle, but let me tell you who spoke them. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." A believer knows and bows to the truth that salvation is of the Lord, that it is by His good pleasure and providence that He keeps them. And unless He keeps them, they know that they're going to perish. Because if He doesn't keep them, He will leave them in that spirit of lukewarmness. And a believer is arrested. He's arrested, constantly arrested. The Lord said in verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind, naked. Because you say, I am rich." You know what a believer says? "I'm poor. I'm not rich." One is lukewarm, says, "I am. I got it. I got a handle on this. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing." A believer, I need Him. I need to come to Him. I need to ask His forgiveness again. I need the Lord. I need. That spirit of lukewarmness is deception. In thinking that I'm rich in my doctrine, I believe in 5 points of Calvinism. Demons believe that there's 5 points of Calvinism. They don't cast themselves upon the mercy of God. But they know the 5 points. A believer thinks he's increased in religious plenty and works and is acceptable to God and has no additional need of God. "I'm satisfied where I'm at. Thank you. I'm doing just really well. I know what you're preaching. I understand it. But I need no correction from God." Because a man is destitute of the knowledge of his true condition, that he's wretched. That word wretched right there, let me tell you what it is. Afflicted, but without a knowledge of sin. I don't truly believe that I'm that bad. Miserable, and he is to be pitied. Poor and destitute of true wealth in Christ. Blind spiritually. And naked, robed only with the filthy rags of his own self-righteousness. And because he's got such a high opinion of himself, because he's spiritually complacent, satisfied with himself, he says, "I am not in need of any adjustment in me. The way that things are with me is fine. They're fine." He sees, therefore, the Lord's word of correction and instruction as meddling. My friend, we need to remember who's talking here. Who's talking? Let God be true and let every man be a liar. God is right. I'm wrong. And everybody else in here is wrong. in that attitude of complacency and lackness, truly found in that believer, if that believer, by the grace of God, is made to be a believer, God's going to correct him. Now listen to the counsel of the Lord. Now this is the truth of man by nature. Every man by nature is born with an attitude that's cold toward God. He's born with that nature. By the grace of God, he's made hot toward the Lord in regenerating grace. But for one to foolishly profess to be a believer. Now listen, I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about being religious. Those that are religious, just merely religious, they don't know God. They're cold. And by the grace of God, God may be pleased to call one out. These people, this was a church where the gospel was preached. This was a place where God had blessed the gospel. The apostle Paul knew. Paul preached there. Paul had preached the truth there. So listen, I'm not talking about those people out there in the, you know, la-la land that are just religious. I'm talking to us, y'all. I'm talking to us. I'm talking about people that profess to believe the gospel of God's free grace, but possess a spirit of lukewarmness. Indifference. It ain't that big a deal. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, I'm the first to say, Lord, keep me from that. Because if you don't, I'm gone. Now listen to the counsel of the Lord. I counsel thee. If we've ever listened to any counsel, this is it right here. To buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Here the Lord mercifully gives some profitable advice. This is profitable. Only a believer will hear these words with a sense of urgency. And if this message isn't a message of urgency to you, I pray the Lord will make it so. I don't want to be fooled. I'm going to stand before God, you are too. I don't want to be fooled. I know that this carnal heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. And I say, Lord, please don't leave me to me. Lord, if you say that there is a spirit of lukewarmness that's found within your church, that's what he's saying. Only by the grace of God will I not be one of them. I counsel thee. And only one regenerated by the power of God and grace of God will immediately say, Lord, teach me. A believer is going to examine himself to see if he be in the faith. He's not going to be like Paul was saying. He's in a spiritual war. He said, I don't battle like, you know, shadow boxing, like a beat of the air. You ever watch these boxers, you know, they're kind of warming up, you know, before the match, you know, kind of. They didn't do anything for their opponent. They didn't hurt that opponent. He looked good, maybe. Looked like he's fast and all that kind of stuff. Paul said, I'm not fighting like that. He said, I'm not in that kind of battle. I want to know. Lord, do I know you? Like old John Newton, if I don't, Lord, help me today. To begin today. It cannot be that the Lord would counsel a sinner to buy of him, that is, buy of him by faith, if there was no possibility of being able to purchase by the grace of God him who is the gift of life. He said, I counsel thee, buy of me gold, tried in the fire. Now let me tell you what this gold is. It's Him. It's Him. He is the gold, the tried and proven and accepted sacrifice for sin. He is the gold, the tried gold, the proven gold, proven to be the faithful and true witness under the scrutinizing eye of God Almighty, who said of Him, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." You buy of Him, the one who was proven in the fire of God's justice, in Him alone is a man rich toward God. Now you say, you hear Him say, "I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." And you know what a believer says? "Lord, I come. Lord, you said, buy without money, without price. And Lord, all I got is your word. Lord, I come. I come right now. I don't want to talk about coming yesterday. I told you yesterday's air is gone. I need air right now. I need faith right now. I need Him right now. Buy of me. Lord, I come." And He said, "I counsel you to buy of white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." Now, I know what the Scripture says. Man, by nature, you know, he tries to cover his own spiritual nakedness before God by the works of his own hand. By Genesis 3:7, when Adam and Eve took and made garments out of fig leaves. I know this. I know that's nothing but filthy rags. I know that. And let me tell you what a believer says right now. "Lord, robe me now. Robe me now. Lord, cover me now." Someone says, "Well, don't you believe that the Lord covered you already?" Lord, cover me right now. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. When the trump of God sounds and the dead of Christ died in the Lord rise first, and the saints are raised up to meet. You know what, when the day of salvation will be? Right then. Right then. Lord, save me right now. Cover me right now. That white raiment, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers the shame of a sinner's own spiritual destitution and nakedness before God's law, is the need of every sinner. And only His robe covers my shame. Lord, robe me. Robe me. "And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." That is the anointing of the Holy Spirit's blessing to be able to see Christ as He's preached in the glorious gospel of God's grace, illuminated spiritually by the Spirit of God, and kept from the darkness of unbelief. And the Lord's people say, "Lord, make me see. Lord, I want to see. Don't you think you've seen before? Lord, I need to see right now. I need to see." Like Paul, when he says, "Oh, that I might know Him." And they say, "Well, Paul, you know Him." "No, I want to know Him. I want to know Him." The Lord said in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." As many as I love, I rebuke. There were some, obviously, at Laodicea who were lukewarm. They weren't cold, they weren't hot. They were lost. Lost. But here we see that there were some that were loved of God. And the Lord gave them counsel. And by the grace of God, they took it. They took it. Why? They hear His voice. And they don't argue with Him. They don't disagree with Him. "Lord, say as you say, Lord, it is." They were rebuked. No believer in this congregation or any other congregation says, I don't need to hear these words. No believer says that. I need to hear these words. I need to be corrected. You corrected your children because you loved them, not because you didn't love them. You corrected them because you loved them. Those that I love, I rebuke. And I chasten. God trains up His children. The Lord says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Titus 2:14 says concerning our Lord, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Be zealous. Lord, I want to be. I do. I want to be zealous. Brother Henry Mahan on this verse said this, the Lord gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from iniquity and sanctify or set apart for Himself a people who love Him, who are eager and enthusiastic to please Him and glorify Him and desire to live for His glory, and who, through the miracle of regeneration, are new creatures in Christ. A believer wants to be faithful. I want that. I don't want to have a lackadaisical attitude. I don't. And when I see it in myself, and I do, I say, Lord, keep me from me. Keep me from myself. The Lord said in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, this passage of Scripture has probably been one of the most misused passages of Scripture as a word of invitation to a dead sinner to exercise his free will and let Jesus be the Lord of his life. I stand at the door and knock. Now I want you to remember something on this passage of Scripture. Only a sinner made spiritually alive in Christ has ears to hear and can perceive the knock of Christ. A dead sinner, if I'm preaching a funeral and there's a corpse right here, and I say, did you hear? Could you hear that? Do you know what that corpse is going to do? Nothing. Why? Because it can't hear. It cannot hear. Now listen to the words of the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. I remember to whom this letter is written. This is the call of the Master to the sheep. You remember when He called to Shulamite, the bride, in the song we just looked at it last week. Song 5, verse 2 to 4. And the Lord is... He knocks. Let me just read it. You know it. I'll read it anyway. Psalm 5. I sleep. I'm drowsy. Shulamite says, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Whenever the Lord knocks, He knocks for a purpose. And I'll tell you, when He knocks, His sheep, regenerated by the grace of God, hear. And they say, as Shulamite said, it is the voice of my beloved. How do you know this is really me talking right now? How do you know? You say, well, I know what Marvin sounds like. David can say the same things I'm saying right now, but David's voice and my voice is different. You know that this is me because you hear me. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. Someone says, how do they hear? How do you hear my voice and know it's me? You know. You know. And by grace, whenever the Lord comes to His sheep, He comes to His sheep because He's pleased to fellowship with them. And if He wasn't pleased to fellowship with them, they wouldn't come. If He didn't come to them first. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I stand at the door and knock. Shulamite says, I sleep, but my heart's awake. And God's people hear this voice right here. If any man hear and open the door, and if they open the door, they opened it because they were made willing in the day of His power. I can tell you this. They didn't have a free will. They didn't make themselves alive. The Lord Jesus Christ comes unto His people and presents Himself through His Word, by His Spirit, to the heart of a new and created man, made and born from above, one that has had that old stony heart removed and a new heart imparted and a new spirit. And they hear. He said, that man that opens up, I will sup with him and he with me. There is fellowship between the Lord and His people. If any man hear my voice, they have been given an ear to hear. And they do know that it's the Lord that's speaking. And He knocks through His Word, by His Spirit, and He says, I'm going to sup with you and you with me. The promise of the Lord Jesus to His regenerated sheep is that they will partake of His blessing and presence. And they don't want to be without Him. He's the shepherd. You know what happens when sheep don't see the shepherd, they don't hear the shepherd, they don't hear the voice of the shepherd, they just start wandering. And I don't want to wander. I'm prone to. I pray that God speak to my heart. I want to agree with Him. And I consider the mercy of God that He would dine with anybody. He's the food. He said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father at His throne. To him that overcometh, and we only shall, being kept by the power of God through faith. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Oh, to sit with him and not be cast out. Even as I also overcame, I'm set down with my Father in His throne. Fellowship, rest, communion, which begins on this earth in conversion, but it's going to continue forever. And all who've been made victorious in Him, who is the mighty conqueror, by grace, are given the privilege to sit with Him in His throne. I don't understand all that. But whatever it is, I want it. Because that's His promise. I knock. You hear? Open the door. I'll sup with you and you with me. And to him that overcometh, I'm going to give you something. You're going to be seated with me in glory. Even as I overcame, I'm set down with my Father in His throne. I don't understand it, but I believe it by faith. I believe it. Oh, for grace to grasp hold of something, of the wonder of that thought. To sit with Him in His throne exceeds the capability of my mind. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, He has declared this to be so. And His word's going to stand. Now, verse 22, he that hath an ear. Let me tell you what a believer says right now. Lord, make me hear. He that has an ear. Lord, I know that seeing eye and the hearing ear is of the Lord. I know that. Lord, give me that. I don't want this to just be a message that just took up some time. This is real. It's real. There's really coming a time that I'm going to see Him. I want to see Him being found in Him. I want that. I want that. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I pray that this message be, I need it to be a comfort to me. I need it. Here's the blessing in it, and I'll close. Someone that says in their heart, Lord, keep me from being lukewarm. Keep me from being lukewarm. There's some hope there. Because God's given you a heart to care. One that is lukewarm thinks himself to be in need of nothing. And a believer says, I need Him. I need Him to save me. If the Lord has blessed this message to your heart and given you a heart to need Him, confess Him in baptism. If the Lord has given you a heart to see your need of Him, you thank Him. Because if He didn't, you wouldn't see it. You would sit in indifference. You may claim to know the gospel, but if that spirit of indifference, if it doesn't arrest you, I pray that God have mercy for His glory and our good. Amen.